This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
So, Apple has discontinued the iPod after 20 years. So, you'd think that people would be more bummed than they are, but they're not. I mean, that's probably why they're just cutting it out. Because nobody really cares anymore, do they? I mean, according to Apple, we've integrated our music experience across all of our products, from the iPhone to the Apple Watch to the HomePod Mini and across Mac, iPad, and Apple TV. And we deliver industry-leading sound quality with support for spatial audio. There's no better way to enjoy, discover, and experience music. But for many of us, October 2001, when Steve Jobs debuted the original iPod, the first MP3 player that could hold 1,000 songs and had a 10-hour battery life, it was something. I mean, then we had the MP3 players released, Microsoft and Sony. They didn't have the same success as the iPod. And I remember getting the first iPod that we had. I think I still have the original at the house somewhere in a box. I couldn't tell you when the last time was we used it. But just incredibly, something like that you think was so huge, so huge. And now it's just dust, just trash. Just sweep it up with the trash because we don't need that anymore. Have a nice day. So if you're still using your iPod, the latest, I think the 7th edition series in the series of iPods, time's up. Sorry. Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just letting you know. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. I always hated that saying. Don't shoot the messenger. Of course you shoot the messenger. That's why you send a messenger. It doesn't ever made any sense to me. The king sends messengers because if something happens to the messenger, darn the luck. But I get the saying from the messenger. Hey, don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. But he's just trying to save his own life. Anyway, let's say you're down in Florida and you're just hanging out on the beach. For example, let's say St. Pete Beach there in Pinellas County. I've been there a bunch. I love St. Pete Beach. I used to work on St. Petersburg Beach. Love it. But apparently, they like to have the police vehicles driving on the beach now for safety purposes. Oh, really? Yeah. Well, the safety didn't really work well this time because there was a lady just sunbathing on the old beach, hanging out, laying on her back, and beach patrol car rolled up and was facing west, and the deputy was speaking to several pedestrians on the beach, and then a 911 call came in and dispatched him to another location, and he makes a right turn from his parked position. Oops! Oh, boom, boom. Was that a 23-year-old laying on her back in the sand? he drives over the sunbather, right? He drives over her right side and mid to upper back area. She sustained non-life-threatening injuries and was transported to the hospital. Yeah, she also sustained the beach will be named after her injuries. Wow. Hello, Mr. Police Officer. You forgot that the body was there? You just thought, I can go anywhere I want. I'm a police car. Nope, there's a human there. Now, it would be a bummer if you were laying on the beach and got run over? No question about that. But, I mean, hopefully she's okay. She suffered non-life-threatening injuries. So, you know, maybe she has Firestone embedded onto her right side. That's it, though. You're fine. That Tahoe didn't weigh too much, did it? Get out of here. And I see they've released the footage now of the arrest of the fugitives in Indiana, the Alabama fugitives, the inmate Casey White and his Vicky White, no relation, sheriff's office assistant director of community corrections, which I don't think she was anymore. But anyway, they had it was a 10-day multi-state manhunt. And we talked yesterday about them finally capturing them, apprehending them. And she died from a gunshot wound to the head after a police crash in Evansville. And you see the footage of them arresting Casey White. And one of the things that he kept saying was, "Y'all help my wife." So apparently he believes they're married. And she shot herself in the head. "I didn't do it. I didn't do it." Okay. There's no evidence that they're married, although, you know, I guess it's possible that they could have, you know, pretended to be married. I guess. I don't know. But, more will come out. We'll see. We have his word to go on of what happened. But he, you know, said, "I didn't do it." And, you know, the guy is up for murder already. So you'd think that if he actually did murder her, he would say, "Yeah, I killed her." But nope, he kept saying, "Nope, I didn't do it. Help my wife. She shot herself in the head. I didn't do it." But he waived extradition and he's on his way back to Alabama. They said he's never going to get out of the sheriff in Alabama, said he's never going to get out of that prison again. He's going to be, according to the reports, he's going to be in shackles in the cell. And he's going to be in solitary, in shackles, inside the cell. So, all right. Good luck, Casey. Good luck. God bless. Speaking of needing some good luck and maybe some blessings from God, if you were planning on visiting North Korea, I know, if you were thinking to yourself, you know, why don't I just go to North Korea for a little fun? I mean, hello, he's got rockets and bombs shooting off, internet restrictions, pixelated porn. So now they're saying that North Korea is maybe the most unwelcoming to Gen X. Oh, no. Because of newfound restrictions on fashion. Oh, no. Oh, no. Kim Jong-un has banned tight pants, dyed hair, particular hair lengths, and clothing that features large foreign wording. Oh, no. So if you were, you know, a Gen Xer thinking that, you know, what we ought to do is go to North Korea. Wouldn't that be fun? Instead of going to the horrible United States Florida beaches for spring break, let's go to North Korea, okay? But you can't wear your skinny jeans. You can't wear your hoodies. You can't wear your man buns. I know. So according to Radio Free Asia, who doesn't love Radio Free Asia, the country considers the above-mentioned fashions capitalistic and does not want their country associated with such. Yeah. The Socialist Patriotic Youth League's patrols are cracking down on young people who wear long hair down to their waist and those who dye their hair brown, as well as people who wear clothes with large foreign letters and women who wear tight pants. You don't want none of the Socialist Patriotic Youth League cracking down on you. Socialist Patriotic Youth League. That sounds almost like another country that had that. I don't remember what it was, though. I feel like it was in Germany at one time. Was it Germany? I don't remember. The Socialist Patriotic Youth League regularly patrols, and they do not want to see anybody who's looking out of place. You got it? I don't want to see wrong length hairs, dyed hairs, crotch compressing pants. And often the results are going to be reported to your employer. I thought the government was the employer of everyone. So if they're part of the Socialist Patriotic Youth League and they're busy patrolling the streets, they're just reporting it to the government. I'm sure you're lucky to be making out of there alive. Are those skinny jeans dead? I know. I mean, I don't want that to happen to you, but it could. So if you're planning on your trip to North Korea for spring break, I wouldn't plan on those beach bikinis. No, my friend. Leave those at home. Before we head into the break room, let me tell you a little bit about email, specifically StartMail. StartMail keeps email private, period. Every email can be encrypted, even if the recipient doesn't use encryption. Free email services like Gmail and Yahoo aren't really free. You pay with your privacy. In fact, internet giants like big tech bank on exploiting your data by selling it to the highest bidder. Your business plan, Google has it. Your medical records, Yahoo can sell them to drug companies. That's why I use StartMail. Makes me feel safe again. When you delete an email in StartMail, it's gone forever. And StartMail uses their own servers, not Amazon's, which means they can't be put out of business, like Parler and many others. Switching to StartMail is seamless, too. You can easily transfer all your current email data, so there's no starting from scratch. StartMail is also backed by the most stringent privacy laws in the world. You get unlimited anonymous aliases. This feature protects your main email address from spam and phishing attacks. So when you're giving your email to a company but want to protect your identity, StartMail can generate a shareable alias email so people can't sell your information, and they can be deleted at any time. Start securing your email privacy with StartMail. Sign up today. You'll get 50% off your first year. Go to startmail.com/Jeffy. StartMail with a T. StartMail.com/Jeffy. 50% off your first year. StartMail/Jeffy. I am in love with this idea that every email can be encrypted, even if the recipient doesn't use encryption. That just means privacy, and I love that. That's one of the things I really like about StartMail. Start your StartMail process and get that email working for you today. StartMail.com/Jeffy. 50% off the first year. StartMail.com/Jeffy. Okay, I know we're headed over to the break room, but, and this is really funny, but it's not funny. It's only funny to me in a sick way. So, you know, am I going to apologize for it being funny to me? No, not really. So two journalists were shot to death in Mexico this week. Okay, so that's terrible. And raising the total number of slain journalists in the country to 11 this year. It's the deadliest year for journalists in Mexico. It's so sad. It's so sad. Now, you say, well, Jeff, well, you said something that was funny. Well, 200 journalists are gathered in Mexico City to protest against a series of slayings criticizing the state and federal governments for not sufficiently investigating and preventing such deaths. Yeah, they're protesting in Mexico City, and so if you're a journalist and you're out there on the street in Mexico, you're getting shot. We don't want any journalists around here. Oh. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we just drop them off in a dirt road in Sinaloa, and there you go. They're there for you. Don't worry about it. So, again, it's not funny. It's just sick funny. All these journalists are down there, you know, to protest the journalist killings, and they still get killed. So Mexico needs to do something, man. I don't know what it is. I know it's considered one of the most dangerous countries for journalists. Yeah. No kidding. You can't even protest in Mexico. say something bad, we'll still kill you. So complain to me again how bad the United States is. Go ahead. Tell me how bad the U.S. is. Go ahead. You know what? Let's go to the break room. I'll get something cold to drink because I need something cold to drink desperately. You can explain to me how terrible the United States of America is while journalists who are in Mexico protesting about journalists getting killed are getting killed. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll wait. I'm going to get something to drink. So, you see the naked dump by Britney Spears on the old Instagram account? I know. Now, I know she's only got 41 million followers. But she's covering it. She has her hands on her breasts, and there's a little heart, in the middle part of where the female body is. in the old vag area. But she went crazy. She started posting all these naked pics because that's what she was taking, naked pics in Mexico before she got pregnant. And she just wanted to see that she looked so happy and she looked 10 years younger while she was on vacation and everything's fine. And then I was looking, going through her Instagram account, and Mother's Day, she talks about not even being able to get out of bed. She talked about how I had a migraine the past 2 days and I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't be exposed to light or I felt like I would pass out. It was the worst. So I slept for 2 days. I was out cold for Mother's Day. And then she said, I'm sorry, I'm a day late or so. But anyways, this video made me cry. And it's a little, Mother's Day video. But this is what you're in for, new hubby, baby daddy. What's your stupid name? Sam Agashari. Good luck. Good luck. God bless with that. Because Brit is, you're going to have fun until you're not. And you can quote me on that. That is what happens with Britney Spears. You're going to have fun until you're not. So I see where our friends at Netflix are saying that they're going to start cracking down on password sharing. They keep throwing that out there. And now that they've, said that they're losing money and subscribers, they think this is a way for them to win people back. No, CEO Reed Hastings, that is not. They say that now they're talking about an ad tier at some point in the last 3 months of this year, 2022, because Reed said, I'll try to figure it out in the next year or two. We'll try to get to that whole ad-supported thing. Nope, we're going to make that happen by the end of this year. So you're going to be able, the prices are going to be, I already talked about raising their prices, so you're looking at now, let's see, HD streaming plan with two simultaneous streams, $15.49 a month. Premium tier, 4K and four simultaneous streams, $19.99 in the U.S. And I'm pretty sure that's what I'm paying. And that's a point now where I'm thinking, maybe I don't need Netflix. $20 a month? Because I'm close. Something's going to give soon. I don't even know this, but everything is costing more money in America today. I know. If you haven't noticed, if you haven't gone to the store or anything, sorry, I don't mean to break it to you. But, everything is through the roof. And, prices are through the roof. Not pay. That's just silly. That's just silly. Pay. But other prices are through the roof. So something's going to have to give. And everybody thinks they can just keep raising prices and everything will be fine. We'll make our money because we're raising our prices. No, you won't. No, you won't. How about you offer good services at a reasonable price? Right? I know. It sounds like a shock, but I think that's the way business is supposed to be run. Good services, reasonable price. Speaking of, good services, reasonable prices, I see where LGBTQ dating app Grindr going public. Going public via special purpose acquisition, valuing Grindr at $2.1 billion. So congratulations to Grindr, the old LGBTQIA+ friendly dating app. And so 2.1 billion for Grindr. Oof, man, that is pretty impressive. And good news and bad news coming from Carvana, the used car dealer. It was founded about a decade ago and has, you know, been huge growth. Said yesterday that, hey, you know what, we're going to lay 2,500 people off. Yeah, and things aren't really going that well. So the executives, yeah, they're not going to get paid for the rest of the year. So you 2,500 that are, you're going to get laid off. Man, the executives, yeah, you're not going to get paid for the rest of the year. Oh, okay. So all impacted team members will have the opportunity to receive 4 weeks of pay plus an additional week for every year they've been with Carvana. They have an opportunity to receive extended health care coverage, pay equal to early vesting of certain previously granted equity awards, recruiting and resume support, and continuing participation in certain other company programs. Gosh darn it. That's so nice of them. We believe these decisions, while extremely difficult, will result in Carvana restoring a better balance between its sales volumes and staffing levels and facilitate Carvana returning to efficient growth on its mission to change the way people buy and sell cars. So good luck. We just, you know, had to do it. We had to lay those people off, and you executives are just not going to be able to get any pay for the rest of the year, okay? Oh, did I mention that the next day Carvana reported that they're going to buy vehicle wholesaler ADESA U.S.? That's the name of it, ADESA U.S. That's a vehicle wholesaler, which operates 56 auction locations across the country. They're going to buy that for $2.2 billion. Oh, I thought you were trying to get back to viability and didn't have any money. You know, you're laying off 2,500 people, and the executives for Carvana aren't going to get paid for the rest of the year. Yeah, this is separate, though. We're buying another company for $2.2 billion. That's separate. So don't try to bog us down with Carvana not going to, not going to pay the executives or laying off 2,500 people. We're buying this vehicle wholesaler for $2.2 billion, trying to get back on our feet again. Oh, all righty then. No problem. To all you people that aren't getting paid anymore, you know, the executives who still have a job but aren't getting paid, and the 2,500 who don't have a job and are only going to get paid for a few weeks and then they're gone, don't worry about it, because you could probably, maybe apply for a job at the ADESA U.S. and work at the auction house for cheaper than you're making now. So that's good, right? Right. So just a quick Royals update. I know the Queen is struggling, and she's looking that they're reporting her that she may abdicate the throne and give it to Chuck. And she didn't show up at the opening of Parliament the other day, and Chuck showed up for her. And I know she's got the Platinum Jubilee coming up, and I think Meghan and Harry are going to be there, and I think they're bringing both the kids. I mean, it's going to be quite an event, so maybe that will end. That'll be the first time she gets to meet the new granddaughter, which I'm, all for. I'm a little still ticked that he didn't show up for Christmas. But Chuck opened up Parliament yesterday, I believe. It might have been the day before yesterday. But he is so good. I mean, he just exudes king.
Government's priority is to grow and strengthen the economy and help ease the cost of living for families. Her Majesty's government will level up opportunity in all parts of the country and support more people into work.
Oh, good.
Her Majesty's ministers will continue to support the police to make the streets safer and fund the National Health Service to reduce the COVID backlogs.
Good.
In these challenging times, Her Majesty's government will play a leading role in defending democracy and freedom across the world.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Now, William was there, and I'm sure William was thinking, hey, Dad, why don't you just let me take it over, okay? But no. Nope. Chuck had to do it. It was his role. So, man, how much do you love King Chuck? I know. Me too.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
You know, I see where cryptocurrency trading giant Coinbase sees their shares fall 20% after hours trading. So, I mean, that's 27% revenue decline over the last year. So cryptocurrency is a fascinating place to be. And I had an opportunity to talk to a friend of mine, Chuck Palm, who is now involved in the world of crypto. And I wanted you to hear what Chuck had to say and see if you can understand where we're headed and what's the future.
So the other day I'm perusing some news wires and I see out of my old stomping grounds in Tampa Bay that a friend of mine and a friend of the show's, Chuck Palm, got a new gig. I'm sure he has a big sign going into his new office, CCO, the Chief Communications Officer, for a company, a global tech company out of Tampa Bay called Vertison. And then I wondered, well, that's good for Chuck. I'm happy for Chuck to have the new gig. And then I wonder, well, wait a minute, what is Vertison? And so I go to the Vertison website at vertison.com, and I see they're architects of amazing thought leaders in technology, innovation, and execution. Chuck Palm, first, welcome to Chewing the Fat. How are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful, Jeffy. It's great to talk to you again.
It's very good to talk to you as well. I miss seeing you. I miss Tampa Bay. Enough of the love.
Well, Tampa Bay misses you. I can't say that enough.
I know. They call once in a while, too.
That's good. That's good.
So what is it that Vertison does?
What is it that they don't do? I am so excited about this job. Vertison is really a thought leader in some of the new technologies in decentralized finance and things that are really important to. Sorry.
No, I was just. Oh. I can't tell you how much I talk about decentralized finance.
It's an everyday occurrence, isn't it? I mean, I know. It's a topic that comes up at lunch, you know.
So seriously, now with. All right. Just I know that, crypto is, the world now. Just everyone wants to get in on the game.
Yeah.
And you either have the old school financial people like Buffett, who says it's not worth anything, or in particular, he was referring to Bitcoin. But, he wouldn't give you, a dime for it. And you have many others who are, creating their own. And so Vertison is going to be the go-between with that, or are they going to have their own and create a new driveway?
Well, let's put it this way. The things that I can talk about today are going to be a lot different than what I can talk about, say, come July 4th when we have a major announcement. So I'll hint at some of those things, but I will tell you, crypto, as it's based today, on things like the blockchain, you're familiar with that term from Bitcoin. That's basically the framework. Consider it like the underlying network behind all the Bitcoin transactions.
Yes.
That's like 12-year-old technology, and it's really starting to fail. People are seeing the increasing times for transactions. They're seeing it, you know, trying to buy things with crypto takes forever. The banks aren't verifying very fast. So you have to have an intermediary like a Coinbase or somebody approve the transaction. So it's no different than, say, a Visa or another bank card that has come along and said, well, you know, we'll verify it for you, but we really don't know for sure until that clears. And that's a bit, that's a little bit scary. So, you know, when you're putting all of this steam and effort into trying to digitize money, we have to talk about those things like what is the underlying network going to be or how's that going to work. And I think that's where Vertison is really going to shine. Some of that, you know, things as simple as a, like a crypto wallet might be, you know, something that you carry around digitally with you. Well, can you use that offline? Is there a way I can carry that on a card, for example? And, you know, hinting at the future and some of those other things, that is the future of crypto. We have to treat it like money, but it has to go, you know, beyond the next 100 years.
Right. Now, let me. OK, so, I mean, that all sounds great. All right.
Hey, I got that part right. Good.
I'm all with it. It sounds wonderful. But I have heard rumblings through, you know, other news wires that, you know, governments around the world are not too enthused.
Well, that's because governments have their hands in banking and financing, and they like to mess with the loan rates and inflation and things that make it very difficult for the normal people to manage money. And we hope to take that away from them. I'm really excited about the opportunity to decentralize, quote, one of those opportunities and kind of give the people back their power when it comes to money.
Do you honestly believe that that's going to happen?
Well, I know it's a fight. I'm down for that fight. I'm really excited about, you know, the technology providing us more power. And now, I mean, you can go back to the music industry and say what happened there when Napster came along and shook things up. They were the pirates, you know, and they really changed the face of how people get paid. Even the musicians like the system better now, until you start involving more of these big multinational, you know, corporations that are stealing money out of the pockets of the performers and the people who buy the music. So, you know, when we put the power back in their hands, they got to decide where they get it, how they carry it with them, you know, getting it on demand. That changed music as you and I know it very well.
That's for sure. And we, it's funny that we hear so much about the artists that don't like it, but we never hear, you know, stories about how people have adapted and love the system now.
Yeah.
We never do. That's really, that's a fascinating angle to that. That's a great point, because the overwhelming, we hear from what, 4 or 5 musicians, usually, you know, the big names that are unhappy with the way the system is, but there's plenty of musicians out there that, I mean, we don't hear from, and I'm guessing that not everyone is dissatisfied.
Well, you know, think about, let's keep that comparison as an example. The banks take anywhere from 1.25% to, you know, 1.5% plus 25 cents per every transaction that you go through your own money in your own bank account. Right. And they get the privilege of keeping your money and investing it and making more money off of you. The music industry was no different. They gave pennies to the artists on royalties when they got airplay or sold a song on an album or a CD. Now that's changed. They get anywhere, you know, and again, I'm not a music professional, but I know that those numbers have dramatically levelized. And even independent artists can make up to, you know, 30 or 40 cents more per transaction. Why is it we're not giving that back to the people whose money you're using the privilege of spending all of my investments? When you have these multinational banks are the worst, because they change money from one currency to another and take a fee for that as well.
Yeah, they sure do. But with crypto, what is it, you know, people are always concerned about, it's not worth anything.
Yes.
It's not worth anything. What's it, what are we going up against to? Am I saying, hey, this crypto is worth what I'll pay you for this clay pot?
Right. And yeah.
Clay pot is who we're basing how much it's worth on. I at least with money, presumably. I know it's not true anymore,
it's
but
true.
You know, you have the gold standard, and that's supposed gone. To be what's yep. worth. Yeah, that's long gone. I mean, we're just printing it. You know, I mean, we haven't stopped printing.
No, cash. it's willy nilly yeah. now. Whenever they need more, they print more. That's very true. Yeah. So crypto, you know, the best way I can look at crypto is, have you ever had comic books or baseball cards as trading cards?
I still do, as a matter of fact.
I'd like to sell you some. Yeah, I'll trade you, because I still have a bunch myself. I uncovered a box last week and I said, well, you know what? What are the value of these cards?
Yeah.
Some of them are worth absolutely nothing. They're not worth the cardboard they're printed on. There are others that are worth a couple of $100 because they're a rookie card. They're a special limited edition. They, you know, might have. Now, what's that worth? That worth is what somebody is willing to pay for it. Is crypto different than that? Yes, in a sense it is. But you've heard the term NFT before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so a non-fungible token is actually that value basically quantified in a serial number of a specific limited edition trading card.
I know.
Which happens to live on the web.
I know, but there's nothing. I mean, we're not. Those NFTs that are, you know, were so predominant, and they're still, you know, obviously every
day. They're more and more every day. Yeah, exactly.
I know. And I'm disappointed that I do not have one or two or three. I really am. It was dumb of me not to do that. I get it. And that's because of why I'm living in a, you know, a single wide trailer now as it is. But the point is that is also seemingly, maybe not falling apart, but certainly downgrading from the original days of what they had anticipated.
Well, it's a simple matter of perceived value. Yeah, the perceived value of the NFT that is, you know, a hand-drawn picture of a chimp on a digital drawing, you know, because of the artist's name maybe, or whoever put it out there, they may have some, you know, a signature on that card, for example, would be more valuable. Remember the stories in New York when people would get famous people's dry cleaning and they'd sign the ticket and their signature was worth more than the dry cleaning. So they kept it and then they auctioned it on eBay for $100. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. So there is a concept of perceived value on NFTs. And a lot of those that came out that were just like, hey, this is cool. Let's make a digital NFT out of whatever. What's the value? There is no value because it's not known. It's not traded. It's not sought after and it's not rare. You know, anybody can do these now. So the scarcity, just like money, when there's less money in the economy, it's worth more. And inflation is exactly the opposite of that. So NFTs are kind of inflation proof as long as the perceived value is still there. Now, you know, Michael Jordan may come up with his own NFT one day and have his picture and his stats and make a, you know, a digital card. And MJ23 would be a great digital name to own for trading those Michael Jordan cards. But, you know, is he still popular enough? Is the value going to increase or decrease or remain the same?
Well, my point is with that. Okay, so that's great. I love that. Right. All right. Yeah, so let's MJ23. All right. Okay. I would love that. However, you know, so I go online and I look up MJ23 and I see what he has as an NFT.
Right.
And I'm seeing the same thing, but I'm not really seeing the same thing.
You know, well, it's yes, not because
really the same thing.
Think of it like digital property, like you would on a street. You want to look at maybe buying a house. You drive down the road, you see a for sale sign. You can go up to the house. You can look at the house. You know, ring the doorbell, go inside. You're seeing the house. It's still just a house on a street, but you don't have the title to it, so it's not your house. You don't have the provenance that proves, you know, I've made this transaction. Now it is solely mine. Well, in 30 years when I pay the bank off, you know, and that property is mine. NFTs are no different. They are digital properties that we think we have a better way of managing that at Vertison. So, you know, part of that decentralized finance is understanding that process. The perceived value is locked in. And now if I want to sell that house later, I have to transfer title, do the same kind of process that you would legally. And by the way, secure transactions in crypto are also a big concern. So, you know, we're looking at how do you actually keep a digital encrypted package secure when there's more than one person involved in the transaction? That kind of work is what we're working on. And again, taking it out of the big players and putting it in the average everyday user's hands. You know, you and I might decide we want to invest in an NFT together. We go and buy one, but you know, that's a complicated transaction. It's more than two people. We've addressed that and some of those, you know, concerns about encryption, security, and so forth. We're not carrying everybody else's transaction on the ledger on our back. We're just worried about our own stuff. So that's what makes it faster and more secure. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, a little. Yeah, a little.
It's convoluted. It's still very young technology, too, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm now, if I start asking more questions, we're just going to get more into the weeds. And I'm okay with it, but, you know, I don't know how long I can.
how much longer can he hold out, folks?
We can record for another hour and still be, you know, in the weeds. Because
yeah, you want to go to something more, you know,
I just don't feel, you know, there's so many now. I'm because we go back to crypto. All right. Yeah, so okay. There's a ton of different cryptos. And, you know, sooner or later, there's going to be someone, something, and that's Vertison is just, you know, they're going to be, you know, being if you're the company that can do the person to person transaction, and keep my security, that's great, right? I mean, that's what we all want,
right?
That's perfect, but there still is so many different cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
That now you're talking about security between you and me.
Right.
And security between myself and whatever crypto I want to pay with. Mm-hmm. And then crypto to you and the conversion rate of whatever crypto you're paying me and back.
Right.
So now you're talking about, I mean, there's three or four, maybe even more security rings that we're talking about.
You must have read the web pages on that. That's brilliant. We actually call it a ring transaction.
There you go. I'm not part of the Vertison plan.
And there you are.
I need that. But
right,
I figured it out all by myself.
Well, you've done a brilliant job, as always, Jeffy, and that makes my job easier because a ring transaction can involve multiple people. It is secured. The transaction is virtually instantaneous. We don't charge, you know, big fees to manage all of that, like, say, a title company would when you're buying a property or a transaction for a bank. They charge a fee as well. All of that is eliminated, and it is simplified with something we call a crypto case. That's part of it. The ring transaction is another part of it, and they're all tied in together on that technology platform. And we think we have a much better solution than, say, you know, going to a Coinbase or somewhere else where you have to convert it, then you got to get your money, then your money's got to be coming out of a digital dollar account somewhere else, and it's a nightmare. But see, there's hundreds of currencies all over the world anyway. Now we got digital currencies that also have to be transacted and, you know, translated, and then fees are taken out of that, and we just think that's unfair.
What it's worth at the time of the transaction may not be what it's worth after. So, you know,
see, even 20 minutes later, you're absolutely right. That's a big concern because you're losing money every time you take money out of one account, pay a fee, and then put it into another account. Even if it's a good old American dollar, the Visa Corporation will also charge you to put it back into your account, which is just blows my mind.
So you believe, and I think maybe we'll just stop here because I'm the hole is getting too big, but, you believe that the government is not going to take control of this, that fight will be won.
I believe the government has no right to take control of it because it is not going to be within their purview.
That's a cute little thought.
You like the thought? Yeah,
I do. That's a cute little thought. The government has no right.
We've thought about that, Jeffy. And honestly, I like to think that we have a solution for the government as well if they want to play ball. But we're not going to let them take over the personal finances of individuals, track their spending, throttle what they can buy. That's just, you know, it's not just anti-constitutional, it's anti-freedom.
They're doing that already, though.
Well, they're trying to, but it depends on what crypto is going to give up access to that. Crypto is supposed to be secure by nature. Now, they've been cracked. They've all been broken.
That's a cute little thought.
Right. It is. But, you know, when you've got one layer of security protecting everything, we've looked at it and said, why not eight layers? We can make that happen digitally. It takes no time at all. You know,
right.
Outside of that, what's the real value of having your currency online and easily accessed? And then the government can watch everything you're doing and then say, oh, no, you don't get any more candy, Mr. Diabetic. You know,
I'm with you. But
we're I know.
I don't foresee that. That's a difficult road these days. I mean, it's that road is being closed off more and more every day.
Only if we let it. Every time we let them take an inch, they'll go for a mile, and you know, we allow them access to it. We own the code. We wrote the software. We manage the transactions. We're not going to just give that up. We have rights as a corporation.
Hey, don't be squaring up with me on your vertices and shoulders, okay?
I wouldn't on that. Dare think of that against you, sir.
So now let's go to the let's go to the metaverse and Are we going to be involved? I'm hoping that Zuck calls me soon and allows me to do a show inside the metaverse. I'll do a daily radio show inside the metaverse.
It still kind of looks like an episode of SimCity, and if you're playing the game, you know, apologies, but yeah, it does not look like what they're selling it is. It will look like, hopefully, but I don't foresee that being a huge leap that people can afford just yet.
I know, but it's getting there. Right,
close.
I
mean, it is very close. There. Yeah.
So, I mean, are we going to be able to do transactions inside the metaverse?
I think it's perfectly designed. I mean,
He's already started his own crypto for that, right?
Absolutely. In fact, most cryptos came from the gaming industry when people were buying upgrades to their games and their weapons and their clothing and everything. Yeah, that's how digital currency came about, making it, you know, something that's real and tradable. There's a perceived value, and the value in the metaverse is no different than it would be, you know, in my own backyard, but I'm not in that meta world in my backyard, you know?
Right. Right. All right. Well, Chuck, anyway, I love talking to you. Thank you.
Chuck thank Palm, you, brother.
Chief Communications Officer for Vertison, which is, he's the new communications officer. Do you have the big sign too on the office and everything now?
I do. I put one up, and it's there's actually a TV with my name scrolling across it. Yeah,
you put it up. Don't they version to have some kind of Du Bois to do that for you?
Well, you know, we're hiring Du Bois all the time. So if you have a resume, let me know.
Oh yeah, listen, that may be closer than you think. I may be knocking on the door. I may be willing to become a Vertison Du Bois. Don't you kid yourself. Chuck, thank you.
Thank you,
Jeffy. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate your time.
You bet, brother.
Peace.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.